Hey everybody, this is Cody from Cantus Firmus, and happy to be talking to you again. We talked last time about the documentary hypothesis and how scholars have chopped up the first five books of the Bible into sections, which they assert came from different authors writing at different times. If you haven't heard that podcast, you might want to go back and listen before starting this one, because I'm going to sort of just assume that you have some familiarity with the topic, and if you don't, it might be a little confusing. But what I want to do here is look at how acceptance of the documentary hypothesis impacts how other biblical books are treated by critical scholars. Amos is a great book to look at. It's one we're going to be doing here because it's short. Its author lived fairly early in Israel's history in the 750s BC or thereabouts. And it's rich in content that suggests familiarity with portions of the Torah, or the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses in the beginning of the Bible. And that's interesting, of course, because the critical scholars date those books, or portions of those books, to hundreds of years after Amos. So let's start with a broad introduction to the book of Amos. He seemed to have been a prophet of humble background and of humble occupation. Attributed to Amos in 7:14 through 15 is this statement, quote, "I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel." Prophesy. Prophesy sounds cooler. I'm going with that. End quote. The first two chapters of Amos pronounce judgment upon pagan nations for their cruelty and inhumanity. The latter part of chapter 2 up through chapter 9 detail Israel's crimes and impending punishment, including the destruction of the Israelite sanctuary at Bethel. And the end of chapter 9 details Israel's future restoration. When discussing the crimes of Israel and of pagan nations, Amos seems to reference passages in the Pentateuch, including passages which critical scholars use later, priestly and Deuteronomic additions written after the time of Amos. More on that later. Now, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. I'm going to be honest with you. It looks like Chavdar Hadiyev. It's first name is spelled T-C-H-A-V-D-A-R. Last name is H-A-D-I-J-E-V. And he has a book entitled The Composition and Redaction of the Book of Amos. And it gives us some insights into how critical scholars look at Amos. He begins by telling us that the book comes substantially from the prophet Amos himself. Quote, "There were a number of commentators who ascribe all, or almost all, of the book's content to Amos himself, but do so for very different reasons. They would also have quite distinct ideas on what Amos actually was and did. A northern government official, a Judean nationalist, a cultic prophet, a preacher of the covenant, etc." Now, so end quote. We're already off to a rocky start here. What does a number of commentators who think the book came substantially from Amos mean? Is that most of critical commentators, just a handful, are they in the minority or the majority? And look at the diversity of opinions about who Amos was and where he lived, all based on different concerns which scholars think they find reflected in the text. So but let's move on to the parts of the text that are believed to not be from Amos originally. Hadiyev notes that, quote, "Modern redaction critical study of Amos begins with the influential thesis of Wolff, who identified six stages in the literary development of the book," end quote. Now, the last three hypothesized stages are probably the most important for our purposes. Fourth is the Bethel exposition of the Josianic age. Includes a number of little sections, including chapter 3, verse 14, chapter 5, verse 6, chapter 4, 6 through 12, etc., where additions were made which, quote, "aimed to support the destruction of the Bethel sanctuary by Josiah," end quote. You may remember from the last podcast that the Deuteronomist sections of the Torah, so-called Deuteronomist sections, were alleged to have come from Josiah, who was trying to concentrate power in Jerusalem by undermining sanctuaries outside of Jerusalem. The fifth stage is, quote, "a Deuteronomist redaction," and it sought to apply the prophetic word to Judah during the time of Babylonian exile, end quote. Sections that seem to, you know, be consistent with that redaction would be chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, and also verses 10 through 12. That's the fifth stage. The sixth stage is, quote, a post-exilic edition of the epilogue in chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, which supplied the missing message of salvation. Hadiyev claims that Wolff's reconstruction has been accepted in broad outline by, quote, a number of scholars, again, end quote, though notes important dissenters on various points. Now, Gleason Archer, a conservative biblical scholar who rejects the documentary hypothesis and holds to biblical inerrancy, he notes several places where Amos seems to refer to the Pentateuch. Now, of course, that would be problematic for the documentary hypothesis because the documentary hypothesis would allege that the many portions of the Pentateuch come later, after Amos, and as a result would argue that sections of Amos must also have been put in later. Those passages that Archer's referring to would include Amos 2, verse 7, which apparently chastises Israel for engaging in religious prostitution, which is forbidden in Deuteronomy 23, 17, and 18. Chapter 2, verse 8 condemns those who keep clothing from borrowers who are poor overnight, as which is forbidden in Exodus 22 and 20, verse 26. Chapter 2, verse 12 refers to the Nazirite vow, which is referenced in in Numbers 6, 1 through 21. And there are also a lot of places, and a number of places anyway, that refer to sacrificial terms, which many critical scholars would say come from much later in Judah's history. In addition, Amos 4, verses 4 through 5 seems to be railing against the unauthorized sanctuaries outside of Jerusalem, which is why some scholars, including those who accept the sixfold development Hadiyev detailed, see it as a Deuteronomist passage. However, interestingly, Hadiyev argues that it isn't unauthorized sanctuaries which Amos is railing against, but improper attitudes and worship. What are we to conclude? Why do so many scholars date portions of Amos as much later than the life of Amos itself? Well, because these portions of Amos are inconsistent with the hypothesis of development, which these scholars have a pre-commitment to. So obviously, they must come later. They could just as easily argue that since we have no concrete evidence of what redaction, if any, took place in the transmission of Amos, and no external evidence which strongly sways us to cut it up into sections, that we ought to take it as a single unit and assume that Amos is familiar with the Pentateuch as a complete unit during his own time. Courtesy and carefulness should lean scholars toward this latter option, though the reality is that critical scholars treat the text with an undue suspicion due to their own presuppositions and biases on this issue. So, it's a very short podcast. Just wanted to sort of give a little bit of a excursus on the documentary hypothesis to sort of show how it ends up working out, coming up against other passages in Scripture. And I thought Amos was really a good option because it seemed, first of all, it was short and also had a lot of references to the Pentateuch. What I'm hoping is that you guys are able to see the circularity in the documentary hypothesis on this point. Thank you for listening.